Thank you, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome all of you to our conference call this morning. The underlying presentation for the call has been published this morning at 7:30 A.M. CET on our homepage. Today, we released the statement for the first nine months of financial year 2019/20. We're going to present the highlights of this period and reiterate our full year guidance. Following the call, we're going to answer your questions. A recording of this call will be available on our homepage shortly after the call. Now let me hand over to Südzucker's CFO, Thomas Kölbl.
Ladies and gentlemen, also a warm welcome from my side and a happy new year to all of you. As mentioned, I would like to give you a brief overview about the business performance in the first nine months of financial year 2019/20, and details about the guidance for financial year 2019/20 that has been updated 18th of December. Let me start with the highlights of the first nine months results on page four. The overall development in the first nine months was more or less in line with our expectations. Group revenues came in below previous year's level. In H1, group EBITDA was down by 17%. Now, after nine months, it is up 8% against previous year's level. In H1, group operating result was down by 47%. Now, after nine months, is almost on previous year's level with a minus of only 3%. Non-sugar segments performed well. EBITDA and operating results were significantly up, and after nine months, already on the level of full year 2018/19. Also, cash flow has made up most of the shortfall reported in H1. Due to one-off effects, EPS came in at -0.42 against -0.01 the year before. As expected, net financial debt end of November has been significantly up year-over-year. Now, let's have a first look into the segmental performance on page five before we get into more detail segment by segment. Group revenues decreased by 3%, mainly driven by a significant decrease in segment sugar. While segment fruit showed a stable development, segments special products and CropEnergies increased revenues. Group operating result came in, as mentioned, almost on previous year's level. Non-sugar segments earnings improvements almost compensated for losses in segment sugar. Let's continue with segment sugar on page seven. Let me revisit our view on the global sugar market. Over the last month, there has been a continuous increase in deficit expectations for the running sugar market in year 2019/20. The most recent report from Ecolycht, dated 6th of January, shows a further very pronounced increase in deficit expectations. Now, the deficit expectation is 10.9 million tons, which marks an increase of more than 4 million tons against the previous report. This leads to a stock-to-use ratio of only 36.3% as of September 2020. This is the lowest ratio since 2010/11. This confirms clearly a more encouraging market environment. World market prices have started to increase from a very low level, so our guidance is still not taking into account any tailwind from this global development. On page eight, we reiterate a continued positive EU market environment. You see the sustained strong increase in EU spot prices. This has been the basis for the contract prices increases for sugar marketing year 2019/20. The EU has become a net importer since January 2019, and as of today, is expected to stay most likely a net importer also beyond October 2020. Today, about 95% of total volume has been signed. In regard to total volume, about 80% are one-year contracts, 15% are multi-year contracts, and 5% are open and spot volumes. EU price reporting of the first 2 months of sugar marketing year 2019-20 showed hardly any price increase. This underpins our view that the achieved price increases will gradually find their way in the industry's P&Ls. It is also worthwhile mentioning that quarter three numbers contained only 2 months of the new sugar marketing year 2019-20. Let me turn into the concrete development in segment sugar in the first 9 months on page 9. Revenues in segment sugar decreased by 16%, but the reduction has slowed down in quarter three with a decline of 8%. The development in the first 9 months was mainly driven by lower sales revenues and a drought-based significantly lower sales volume in light of low 2018 and 2019 harvests. Operating results was, as expected, significantly down. The reported loss reflects a non-cost covering EU sugar price level. On the other hand, the mentioned drought-based low 2018 and 2019 harvests are the background for significantly lower sales volumes, especially in the export business. There was some relief in H1 due to an inventory write-down that was already booked in fiscal year 2018-19 and therefore supported H1 performance. In previous quarter three, another price decrease had to be accepted. Since October 2019, a price recovery has been observed. The price increase had to face higher production costs, mainly due to higher beet prices. Now let me address some points about the still running campaign. On reduced growing area, it was marked again by dry weather conditions leading to below average beet yields throughout Südzucker Group. In comparison to last year, they were yielding rainfall towards the end of the growing period, but it had very negative effect on the beet sugar content. In total, this results in a slightly higher sugar beet yield against last year, but below the 5-year average. We expect a campaign length of 112 days against 115 days in 2018. Sugar production from beet should reach about 4.3 million tons. Let me continue with segment special products on page 10. 2019-20 is going to be another successful year for segment special products. In the first 9 months, revenues grew by 5%, supported by higher sales volumes and especially by significantly higher ethanol sales revenues, which continue to stay strongly above previous year's level. In this light, operating result increased by 21%. Operating result grew even faster in quarter three with an increase of 32%. The sustained positive revenues development more than compensated the raw material and fixed cost increase. Let me now turn to segment Crop Energies on page 11. Revenues in segment Crop Energies were up by 14% in light of higher ethanol sales revenues. Operating result more than tripled against previous year's level. Higher ethanol sales revenues more than compensated the increase in net raw material costs. The average ethanol price in the first 9 months was at 605 euros per cubic meter against 475 euros per cubic meter after 9 months last year. The average ethanol price in December was 687 euros per cubic meter against 582 in December 2018. Also in January, we see so far a continued very sound price level. Let's move on to segment fruit on page 12. Revenues came in on previous year's level. This is due to slightly higher revenues in fruit preparations in light of slightly higher sales volumes. In fruit juice concentrates, significantly higher sales volumes were not enough to completely compensate for lower sales revenues. Operating results significantly decreased by 26%. Fruit preparations earnings were down as slightly higher sales volumes could not offset higher costs. In fruit juice concentrates, lower sales revenues could not be completely offset by higher sales volumes and lower raw material costs. Let me now turn to the main points in the P&L on pages 14 and 15. The result from special items is almost entirely driven by segment sugar. This is mainly due to the offer to beet growers linked to factories Warburg and Portowitz to return their beet delivery rights. Both factories will be closed following the campaign 2019. An additional burden is expected in quarter four to the strike in the French sugar factory Cagny, which will be closed after this campaign. As already communicated in our October ad hoc release, the at-equity result was burdened by ED&F Man. On the one hand, there was a positive contribution from the operating result. On the other hand, there was a significant non-cash expense due to the new strategy of ED&F Man Group. In the context of the new strategy, it is planned to sell several non-performing, non-core industrial participations outside of its core trading business. The measures should be executed throughout 2020. The financial result came in at -31 million euro. It contains the net interest expense of -19 million euro and the other financial result of -12 million euro. Let's continue on page 15. Tax payments decreased to 47 million euro after 81 million euro in the same period last year. It is again distorted by the development in segment sugar, for which there was no recognition of deferred taxes. Earnings per share came in at -0.42 against -0.01 in the prior year. Let me now turn to the cash flow, working capital, and investment development on page 17. Cash flow reached 283 million euro, representing 5.6% of revenue. Working capital increased mainly due to an increase of inventory book values in segment sugar, special products, and fruit, as well as higher trade receivables. The development was partially offset by an increase of liabilities to beet farmers at the same time. CapEx decreased by 16% in quarter three, leading to a 13% decrease after 9 months. Let me now illustrate the main movements in the balance sheet on page 19. Non-current assets have been decreased by 740 million euro, mainly due to the goodwill impairment in segment sugar in 2018-19. Net financial debt end of November is up by 578 million euro against last year and 230 million euro against end of February 2019. Since beginning of fiscal 2019-20, IFRS 16 standards are applied, leading to a recognition of leasing liabilities in the amount of 136 million euro. Gearing is at 36% against 16% 1 year before. Equity ratio is 45%, is still very solid. Let me now turn to the outlook on pages 21 to 25. Ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize our projection for fiscal 2019-20 for revenues and operating results. Group revenues should come in at 6.7 billion-7 billion euro, and operating results should reach 70 million-130 million euro. With the knowledge of today, we see us in the middle of the operating profit range. Despite the mentioned relief from already written down inventories, we realized in segment sugar further losses after 9 months in 2019-20, based on execution of low price contracts from sugar magnate 2018-19. Since October 2019, the beginning of sugar magnate 2019-20, we increasingly operate on the basis of increased sugar prices. They will gradually arrive in our P&L. This development will be supported by the new inventory reduction out of campaign 2018 and a stable production level in campaign 2019 in light of planting reductions across the EU industry and the decreased yield expectation. Let me remind you about two important points. Firstly, for financial year 2019-20, the earnings improvement potentially will not be fully exploited. as the price increase will concern not all sugar contracts, and for the adjusted contract, they will be phasing in over time. The EU sugar market will remain a net importer beyond October 2020, which should provide tailwind for the phasing out multi-year contracts. And secondly, significantly higher production costs are expected for campaign 2019, mainly influenced by higher beet prices in parallel to higher sugar selling prices and the raw material security premium for beet deliveries campaign 2019. As you know, the announced substantial restructuring program will improve earnings from H2 of fiscal 2020-21 onwards, but not in fiscal 2019-20. So, all in all, we expect for sugar an operating loss between 200 and 260 million euros. Segment Special Products is expected to show a moderate increase in revenues and a significant increase in earnings. The support from higher ethanol prices has increased since the beginning of the financial year. On the other hand, we have to cope with higher raw material costs in all divisions. Segment Crop Energies will see revenues at about 810 million euro and an operating result at about 100 million euro. The increased earnings forecast in light of the positive ethanol price development is in place since December 16th. Segment Fruit will show stable revenues and a significant decrease in operating result. This is mainly due to much lower results from division food preparations with slightly higher sales volumes, stagnating revenues, and higher costs. For the division food juice concentrates, we foresee a significant earnings decrease due to a lower capacity utilization in light of a smaller apple harvest in the 2019 campaign and therefore lower raw material availability. Let me now turn to page 22. The EBITDA range of 430 to 490 million euro mirrors the operating development and the further increase in depreciations, also reflecting accounting changes according to IFRS 16. Investments in fixed assets are expected below previous year's level. Let me now turn to page 24. Ladies and gentlemen, segment sugar showed first signs of a recovery in quarter three in light of a significantly improved European market environment and respective increase in sugar prices. Overall, despite the still depressed full-year earnings level in segment sugar, we are confident to cope with the challenges which remain in the market, especially as we have set many measures to get our sugar business back on track. Let me remind you that the restructuring benefits from the factory closures and additional measures will mainly kick in from October 2020 onwards. On top, we see from October 2020 onwards market opportunities. Sugar balances worldwide and in the EU are getting more and more tight. And almost 100% of our contracts at that time in October 2020 are free for negotiation. A burden from 2020 onwards will be the raw material secure premium for the beet deliveries 2020, but it helps clearly to gain volume in an improved sugar environment. For our non-sugar activities, 2019-20 is going to be another successful year with revenues and earnings growth, as well as another year of capacity extension in our starch, functional food, and pizza areas. Despite a rather difficult year in segment food, we are confident to be back on track over the course of next year. Going forward, diversification, respective sustainable strong cash flows contribution from those non-sugar activities, a recovery of our sugar business, as well as a conservative financial policy and a strong balance sheet will be very supportive. Ladies and gentlemen, now let me finish today's presentation with a look ahead on page 25. As described already in our analyst conference in May 2019, Südzucker has invested a lot into the diversification areas outside of its core business sugar, which is paying off, but it will become even more important in the future. The non-sugar activities reached last fiscal year an EBITDA level of about 450 million euro and will jump in the current fiscal year clearly above 500 million euro, representing a continued high cash quality. Despite some temporary headwind in segment fruit, we keep our midterm target for our non-sugar activities to reach about 600 million euro. Together with the first step of recovery in segment sugar into positive earnings territory, increased group EBITDA will improve financial headroom for Südzucker Group going forward as further group growth steps are already financed via historic CapEx. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for your attention.
Thank you. We are now ready to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. The first question comes from the line of Chris Ryan of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is on the starch and sweeteners. Can you just give more detail on the increase in the starch and sweeteners revenue, and what were the drivers for that?
Yeah, please go alongside with all your questions.
Sure. The second question, do you have any expectation for the December price that'll be published by the European Commission in the coming weeks? For EU sugar, that is.
Yeah. We foresee for, let me say, the December price reporting and level more or less what we have seen for October, November, maybe slightly up, but a visible increase we see from the beginning of calendar year 2020 onwards. Let me say, the drivers for the starch division have been sound volume development, but the main driver have been higher ethanol prices in that business field.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Anton Brink of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes. Morning, gentlemen. I have quite a number of questions. Firstly, I think historically you've always shown some willingness to speak about the next fiscal year. Yeah, would you be willing to go that route with me? Especially, I guess, if you could give some context on the likely development of the sugar business, that would be very helpful. Secondly, looking at the spot price development that you've given in today's presentation, I'm not sure how to interpret this, because I would basically assume that in the context of the recent rally in global sugar prices, white sugar now above 340 per ton, we should think of a European spot price very close to the 500 mark. Is that correct? I guess an important element in this year's sugar performance is the risk of a similar or maybe a smaller, but an inventory write-down as we saw last year. Can you explain us how big that risk is in the context of the recent sugar price rally? My last question would be related to the fruit business. It seems to be that the business underperforms quarter-over-quarter. How much of a concern are the current issues to you structurally? Thank you.
Okay. Maybe referring to that, what I mentioned in my speech, we clearly see really substantial improved overall sugar market environment. That means globally and EU-wide. And it helps also looking forward to the closing date of fiscal 2019-20. That, let me say, what we can say today, that the risk of a substantial inventory write-down as we had in last fiscal year is limited. With the today knowledge, we can't, let me say, clearly state that there is no inventory write-down. There is still, let me say, the potential that there is a limited number, but not to that extent as we had it last year with a number of more than 60 million euros. So this is not, let me say, the case for this closing in February to February this year. To the spot price development, you raised in your second question is that we have in the period of the running campaign is sugar available also in the market, and that limits in that period clearly and further increase of spot prices in parallel to the development we have seen in the global market. So going forward, as we expect that the global environment will stay as it is, there is clearly potential for a further increase of spot prices in the EU, which will help also then, let me say, in the upcoming negotiation round for price negotiations in October 2020. To your question about our willingness to say something about 2021, I think I have mentioned a lot in my speech that we are really more optimistic than we were the quarters before about 2021 with the now improved environment, and clearly it is much too early to talk about a concrete guidance for 2021. And what I will talk about later on, what this is not an official guidance, but we are ready to share with you our thoughts, let me say, in the most important drivers we see with the current knowledge for 2020-21. And beginning with sugar, clearly with an expected deficit for the let me say, running global sugar market in 1920 of close to 11 million tons. This is a substantial number. The number is 5 million tons higher than in the latest reports. That will bring the absolute stock level down. That will bring down the stock-to-use ratio substantially. And when we are looking, let me say, for the next sugar market year 2021, there are a lot of, let me say, analysts out with opinions that we will see another, let me say, balanced or deficit market. So a supportive world market environment, and prices have started to increase from a very low level. EU, as mentioned also in my speech, with the knowledge of today, we expect also a further reduction of growing areas for 2020. So also with normalized yields, the market balance in the EU should be more or less the same. We expect for the running EU market 2019-20. And that will be clearly a very supportive framework for EU price negotiations from October 2020 onwards. And for Südzucker, a very important point when we are looking for the economics is that in debt negotiation rounds, almost then 100% of the contracts are open for negotiations. Then clearly cost reduction programs will kick in from October 2020 onwards. On the other hand, we have cost inflations in our cost structure, which we have also to balance. But clearly, the cost reduction program is a very substantial one. Then we have clearly some concerns also about our volumes. That means that we have maybe some limitation from the volume side in the P&L. And then we have let me say clearly what I mentioned also in the speech, the second raw material security premium for beets delivered in the campaign 2020. But clearly this is a burden on earnings, but it clearly helps us to keep volumes high in a better pricing environment we have today. And then clearly higher prices means also in general higher beet prices. But all in all, adding all together, clearly it could be possible that our sugar business returns back to black figures in fiscal 2020-21. Non-sugar, when we are looking on the non-sugar businesses, special products, with the knowledge of today, we should see a continued positive volume development. We foresee no signs that we have major deviations in ethanol prices. Burdens, risk clearly are higher raw materials costs in some of the business fields. Drop Energies clearly will do everything to repeat the forecasted outstanding 2019-20 results. And here we have also no major negative signs that with the current knowledge, it is not possible to do so. And to fruit, we will try everything to get back, let me say, on track after a really disappointing performance 2019-20. So all in all, for non-sugar activities, it could also be possible in total that we confirm, let me see, the highest level, the high level for 2019-20, and that means on group level that the possible return of our sugar business into black figures would be enough to strongly increase a group's operating result going forward. And clearly, let me remind you, these are thoughts, the first thoughts, and what I shared with you now, this is absolutely no official guidance. We will share our guidance with you as every year in spring in our analyst conference. And to fruit, clearly the last question you raised, we have different, let me say, developments in the markets globally. Some are burdened by economic developments negatively, some are burdened by consumer habits changes. Then we have some one-offs in our cost structure and raw material sourcing, also in personal costs, which hurt it especially quarter one and also quarter two. But let me say the underlying, that was the core of your question, is the underlying structure of the business intact, that you can observe that also in a very difficult year we have increase in volumes, not that we originally forecast and planned, but it is a slight increase in volumes. And our task are now to adapt the cost structure maybe midterm on a lower volumes increase. Yeah, and to do everything to gain volumes, to diversify our product portfolio, to come back to to growth rates we had in the past.
Thank you very much. This has all been very clear. Could I ask a couple short follow-up questions?
Anton, we have a lot of guys in the queue, so maybe you could let them through. Okay.
Yeah, sure. I'll go afterwards.
The next question is from Mark Gabriel of Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead.
Well, actually, all my questions have been already answered.
Very good.
Sorry.
Now we run out of time because the stock exchange will start in several minutes. So, okay, one question or Mark?
Actually, that was a question I had was regarding the provisions you are expecting for the final quarter. I mean, you didn't change your forecast for the sugar division, and that implies that you do some provisions in Q4 to get to break even or a positive by next year in the sugar division. But I'm not quite sure whether you really go for the upper end of that range. The implementation is more like if we see 40, 45 million, so a similar loss in Q4 on operating base with lower provisions, as you mentioned, the 60 million last year, probably this year 30 million, I don't know, then we are really at 200 million losses in the sugar division and not 260. Why you kept that 260 loss forecast? That would be the question.
Clearly, we have still 3 months to go. The campaign is still running, and so the phasing in of the new contract is also not 100% sure, and also the production cost, and then also, let me say, the possible inventory write down at the closing date. So there is still an uncertainty, and therefore we kept the range of 200 to 260 million euro. There is an uncertainty, but you raised the main points. The write down in inventories will be substantially below that what we saw in last fiscal, and other provisions or one-offs, let me say, if there are any, maybe one I mentioned in the speech is the strike in Kandy. There we have extraordinary costs, and that will be booked in the exceptional result.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you very much, and success.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of John Ennis of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Just a few follow-ups from me. The first is on the beet price development. You highlighted it as a bit of a headwind in the third quarter, and I assume this will remain the case over the course of the marketing year. I just wondered if there are any sort of one-time payments that we should be aware of. I know you've taken those in the past, either this quarter or over the course of the marketing year that you've looked into. And then my second question is on the European spot prices. There still remains quite a sizable premium between European and global prices. So I just wondered how you view that EU premium developing over the course of this year and what your view is for a more sort of sustainable EU premium relative to global prices. Thanks.
To your first question, no one-offs in the beet price development. These are all regular points. Also the beet security premium for 19 and 20. It is included in the number. And for the EU premium, we foresee, let me say, an stable development. EU will stay a net importer also beyond October 2020. So the EU premium will stay, and that means higher worldwide prices will directly convert in higher EU prices.
Okay, thank you.
With a time lag, clearly.
The next question comes from the line of Oliver Schwarz of Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. I managed to come up with some additional ones. Chiming in on what Mark already asked on the sugar guidance implicitly for Q4, which requires you at least to generate a loss of 54 million euros up to 114 million euros. Looking at this, at those numbers, comparing those with the numbers of last year, Q4, and taking into account the numbers last year of 107 million euros contained a provision of round about 60 million, it seems like in those numbers, even at the lower end of the guidance, the 200 million, at least some provision is baked into that. Is that that's at least my impression? Can you confirm that? That would be my first question. Secondly, fruit. Obviously, 2019-20 was not an excellent year for fruit, but looking at past numbers, I would say fruit might never had a really excellent year up to now. Looking at EBITDA margin numbers hovering somewhere between 7.1 to 9.8 percent for the last 10 years. And now basically we are at a level perhaps by year end 8.5 and 8.7% or something EBITDA margin. So if you say returning to normal, do you imply that basically an EBITDA margin somewhere 9.5, 9.8 is as good as it gets, or is in your expectation for the non-sugar segment, is there something baked in of for the fruit segment of in excess of, let's say, 10%, and how could how is that achievable? So basically, fruit as good as it gets when returning to 17, 18 numbers perhaps, or is more to come here? And another question regarding the non-sugar activities in your midterm guidance of 600 million euros EBITDA, is when looking to crop energies and the bioethanol activities of Agrana, how much of the current bioethanol price environment is baked into that number? Is your number basically requiring crop energies to repeat the excellent 2019-20 result in the years to come again? Or is there something of a more like safety margin baked in into this, that assumption? Then turning to the sugar segment, let's say retention benefits for the farmer or whatever you call them, basically for the farmers to retain planting sugar beets and not turning to other crops to allow for a steady volume of sugar beets going to your remaining sugar factories. Those payments, are they, let's say, now regarded by the farmers as a given and are expected every year from now on? Or are those numbers basically variable depending on the price of sugar beets? So if sugar beet prices go up following the increase in the sugar price and using the beet price formula, will those payments, those additional payments come down once sugar beet prices go up following the increase in the sugar price? That was would be my question on sugar. And last but not least, EDF Man. Huge write-down was what's expected from EDF Man in the years to come. In regard to the change of your strategy, focusing on the European sugar market, not being highly active in the international sugar market, is there still a place for EDF Man in the Südzucker Group for those 35% participation? And lastly, could you quickly peek into the tax assets that have accumulated yet from the loss-making sugar activities, and how much of that might be used in the future once the operations come back into the black figures, which might already be, as you assumed, already in the financial year 2021. Thank you very much.
A lot of questions.
Sorry for that.
Normally we should do that in a one and one. Quarter four, as explained in the speech, as explained in the session and question before, we have still an uncertainty in the last let me say quarter, due to several points. And clearly, we have included an portion for inventory write downs, and that is this big spread. Fruit, I answered also to Anton the main points, and clearly is not to answer the question, not to avoid it, but as you are aware about, we are in agriculture commodities acting with a high volatility in prices, and that influence also year by year our margin. So we are talking about absolute numbers, and our key steering criteria is the ROCE. And what we are saying is that the goal for every business unit, and also that means also for fruit, is a 10% ROCE on capital employed. And there we have been on good track over the last years to be there. And if you would convert then, let me say, this 10% ROCE goal in normal raw material prices in periods, that would then convert clearly in a double-digit EBITDA margin also for fruit. Let me say, the beet security premium you raised, we have so far paid two times. And it was in periods where we had the lowest pricing globally and in the EU market ever. To keep our, let me say, factory utilization on high levels, that we have also volumes then on board when prices, when markets will turn as of today. And that is, let me say, the history of the beet security premium, and we will do it also if it is necessary, and that would be to bring the, to be in the best interest of Südzucker. Eden as man, clearly this is a restructuring plan and a new setup for the company, and it's clearly now we are middle in the restructuring process. Yeah, a lot of work to do to give here clear advice what could be, let me say, the future profitability of Eden F. Man. The only point I would like to mention is that what I said also in the speech, the underlying core business have been positive, yeah, and will be positive also in the current fiscal of Eden F. Man. And the strategy of Südzucker clearly is the things have changed over the last years. We have adapted slightly our sugar strategy, and we reassess steadily, let me say, the participation of Eden F. Man going forward. And the tax assets, it is clearly too early to advise here what we will do. When we have, let me say, finalized our midterm planning in sugar, when we have closed, let me say, the fiscal year, the running 2019-20, then we have a more robust framework, and then we can decide what to do with these valuable tax assets going forward.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Ronan French of Davy Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Three questions from me, all sugar related. So firstly, if I look at slide 25, you haven't disclosed the medium target for the sugar EBITDA. Just wondering kind of what are the key factors that's prohibiting you from calibrating that target? I guess stated alternatively, you've done the work on the upcoming cost restructuring. You've recalibrated some of the beet price mechanisms and agreements, and you can kind of see the trajectory of where the EU spot price is. So is there a way even for you to kind of give us a little bit of a clue, if you were to mark to market all of those factors, where 2 or 3 years out you might want or you might target that segment from a profit perspective? So that's the first question. Second question relates to the restructuring again. And initially you set a target for 100 million in cost savings. But if I recall correctly, there was a caveat that those cost savings related to the then level of sugar prices. So I'm just seeing if you might update us as to that estimate, given the current rally in sugar prices. And then I guess maybe if I put in a third question against kind of what is a favorable backdrop, increased global prices, increasing deficits, does the upcoming restructuring still make sense in its current form? And I guess post that restructuring, how do you position yourself, or how are you positioned against your competitors to capitalize on any kind of sustained price rally? Thank you.
First question, midterm guidance for sugar. We don't give a midterm guidance. We clearly shared with you also in this call the 2019-20 forecast, and we clearly give a really deep analysis what's happened in 2021. And the only thing what I can say today is if these thoughts, and I've repeated these thoughts for 2021, will apply, then it's clearly due to the fact that this higher pricing environment will then apply for 12 months for 21-22. That will be, per definition, bring higher earnings for 21-22, but no more details about that. Second point, cost program, the 100 million euro is the number. Clearly, we are looking also for additional measurements, etc. So 100 million euro is still a good number. And the third question, I didn't get.
Sure, it's just in context of the restructuring and capacity rationalization, how you are positioned against your competitive set.
What we clearly the aim is to improve our competitiveness in the European sugar market, to bring the biggest producer in EU back in a position that we are also going forward cost leader in that area.
Okay, thanks for the color.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. And we have a follow-up question from the line of Chris Ryan of Bank of America.
Hi, thank you for taking my follow-ups. I have three quick ones. The first one, do you expect the working capital build that was in Q3, it was higher seasonally, is Q4 expected to be a significant working capital outflow as well? Secondly, can you give how much the IFRS change has added to EBITDA year-to-date? And then the last one is, are there any plans to take any actions in regards to the perpetual hybrids as of right now? Thank you.
The hybrids, no action. To working capital, no further increase with the current framework of today. And the IFRS full year number is 30 million. Full year number. And the quarter three number, do we have the quarter three number? I'm asking the team. Maybe you phone investor relations after the call
sure.
They can share with you the 9 months quarter and 9 months number for IFRS.
Can I just get clarity on the working capital? Are you saying in Q4 there will be no working capital outflow? In cash flow.
The more or less the same like in quarter four last year.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
And we have another follow-up question from Anton Brink of Captain Jugger.
Yes, if time allows, three very quick follow-ups. You mentioned an 11 million ton deficit. Can you remind me of the source for that number?
FO Liest.
Have they their figures recently then?
Yeah, the 5th of the 6th of January.
Okay, thank you. Secondly, you mentioned all of the contracts are due for renegotiation. Does that also apply to the contract signed for October 19?
Yes, almost 100%, I said.
Okay. Okay, very interesting. And in, I guess, relating that to your comments that sugar should see or could see black numbers again, isn't that very cautious wording in the context of a very significant sugar price improvement, the cost savings that we are to see as of H2, the renegotiation of all those contracts? Isn't that still very cautious?
No, it's a realistic number. The cost savings are kicking on from October onwards. Yeah, also the new pricings will kick on in from October onwards, also with some phasing, yeah, to be here very clear. And clearly is, if you are looking on the run rate for H2 2019-20, it has to be clear that also for the first half year, we expect with the thoughts of today that we are loss-making in sugar.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
And there are no more questions at this time. I hand back to Nikolai Baltashev for closing comments.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for your interest in Südzucker Group, and please do not hesitate to contact us in case of additional questions. And again, good year for all of you, 2020. Bye.